Thank you for joining us on this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane, along with Ryan Dobson. And our host is psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And Ryan, today we'll be continuing a conversation we began last time, talking about the increasingly common situation of step-parenting and particularly step-fathering.
Well, I can't think of a better time to tackle this topic as Father's Day is upon us this Sunday.
Right.
And as we discussed last time, becoming a stepdad does come with its own unique set of challenges. And our guests offered both hope and encouragement. So if you didn't get a chance to hear the first part of that interaction, we invite you to visit drjamesdobson.org and get caught up.
Before we jump in today, let's give a brief introduction of our guests. Mm-hmm. Mr. Ron Deal is a licensed marriage and family therapist and licensed professional counselor who brings years of experience in offering help to families who've been affected by divorce, remarriage, and blended families. Ron is a popular conference speaker and author who writes extensively on families and relational issues.
And our other guest is Mr. Brad Bowker. He's the founder of New Beginnings Ministry, which is an organization dedicated to helping stepfamilies. He's also been the marriage and family pastor at churches in Oregon and Colorado. And Mr. Bowker also brings a personal side to the subject since he's been a stepdad himself for 27 years.
Well, let's tune in now as our host, Dr. Dobson, asks Ron Deal about the difficult transition into this world of a blended family. That's right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Ron, I want to ask you a basic question as a place to start. You've been working with step-parents and step-families, blended families, for a long time. You know, have you ever seen one where it went smoothly?
Yeah, and you know, let me just answer that and say yes, but it is kind of rare. There are stepfamilies that have easier transitions into that stepfamily experience than other families, but everybody has stress. Everybody has stress. In fact, one of the little stats that I like to throw out to people to just let them know how significant it is, the amount of stress that a couple experiences their first 2 years in a stepfamily is equal to the amount of stress that people feel the first 2 years following a divorce. Now, most people say, boy, I never wanted that first experience. Why would I choose to, you know, choose it again? And it's just because they didn't realize how much adjustment it would require of the family. Mm. They just didn't realize how hard it would be. And part of that's because the fog of love on the dating end of things kind of clouds the realities that will come later. But the point is, I have seen many healthy stepfamilies who make it. And again, it comes down to they have the blueprint for their home. They're not trying to create a biological family home. They're trying to create a healthy stepfamily home. And then they do it well.
But there are landmines
yes.
everywhere.
There are. And the more you know, that's why we call it the smart stepdad, because the more smart you are about how to navigate this journey, the easier the journey is for both adults and for kids. You can't avoid every landmine, but at least you have a sense of what to do about them, how to make sense of them. You have some perspective about it, some godly wisdom about how to navigate that.
Mm. Brad, let's get you into this here because you've walked this path.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. How difficult were those first 2 years for you?
Extremely difficult. Probably for the biggest reason is I felt guilty for looking for another woman to be my bride. Mm-hmm. And so that
because
guilt—
Because of loyalty to your deceased wife.
That would be the big part, yes. I also have children who I was concerned would think that, well, you don't love mom anymore.
Yeah. And that's very common for kids
it is.
To feel that way.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that even more than that, you know, I was the elementary principal in the school that Colleen's children were, and
your
my
second
children,
wife,
and my
yeah.
second wife, yes. And it
so
was
what,
awkward.
What that means is you knew those kids; they weren't total
them.
Strangers.
Yes.
To you.
Yeah. And you know, I think what we did to do what we could as far as helping our kids get through some of the tough times is we held family meetings. Family meetings to us was, you know, you have to talk to us. You have to be there for us to understand what you have and some of the things that, that Ron has mentioned about trying to bring kids back in from the loneliness and the pain that has gone on. And I think our family meetings were just like gold. They were the most precious things that we had because it gave our kids a chance to speak and to speak freely. And if that was a little bit harsh, it was a little bit harsh. But it's always peeling the onion to try to figure out where is this real battle.
In any of those family meetings, did one of the kids say to you, "You're not my dad, and you will never be my dad. My dad is gone. He's in heaven or divorced or whatever it is, but it ain't you." I mean, that can get very personal and hurtful, can't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a real touchy issue, but I think what we tried to do was be involved in activities with our kids so that they knew we definitely wanted to do this. And if it has to be that I have to go with Brad, then I'll go with him.
Did you let him call you that?
Well, I haven't let him call me whatever. Well, not whatever.
Qualify that.
Let me paraphrase.
Yeah, that's right. What's interesting about that is that at school, the kids would call me Brad. Not my school, but in their middle school and high school, they would call me Brad. And that was all right with me because I didn't want to say, "This is my dad." I didn't want them to say that. In the last 2 years of our kids' high school, they would call me Dad. And, you know, those things are
so
just—
So it came naturally.
It
wasn't something you insisted
That's
on. Would you recommend that dads take that approach?
Absolutely.
Ron, would you agree with that?
Absolutely. When you start to impose terms of affection, especially, then what you're doing is what I call blendering. You're trying to blender the family. Right. What you're saying to that ingredient is you need to love me just like I'm your dad. And so you need to call me Dad. That's forcing relationship. All that does
you
is it tends to make
that.
Kids back up another step. You just made it harder for them to open themselves up to you, not easier. When you do what Brad did, and there's so much wisdom in this, he was patient. He let the relationship speak for itself. He pursued them based on their level of openness to him. Now, that's really important, okay? He paced his affections for them based on their level of openness to him. So the term Brad is how they felt comfortable referring to him. But over time, as their relationship deepened, then the term changed. And it became a reflection of that deepening relationship.
Ron, I think it's important to address the fact that for many stepdads, there is another father in those stepchildren's lives, oftentimes even rather destructive. That puts them square in the middle of a fist fight, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It does. And it's a hard reality. One of the things I like to jokingly say to stepdads is when you got married, you got a mother-in-law and a father-in-law, but you also got an ex-husband-in-law. And unfortunately, you're married to him for the rest of your life, too. He's a part of your family now. And so who he is with his children impacts your relationship with his children. And you have to be aware of it. You have to try to understand what's going on in those relationships. And if he is a destructive person, irresponsible person, it tends to go one of two ways, Luann. One way is the kids move away from their biological dad and just totally jump into the lap of the stepdad. Or it goes the other direction, where their loyalties to their bio dad, in spite of his irresponsibility and behavior, is stronger than ever. And they defend him and they plead for him and they stiff arm the stepdad. And so stepdads find themselves in one of those two places, generally speaking, and it's a hard place to be. You got to have lots of conversation with your wife. I don't want you to do this alone. You need to be in relationship with other stepfathers, a stepfamily support group at your church, which we advocate strongly for, so that you're talking with other people and finding counsel with them. If you get stuck in that place where you just don't have any answers, that's a lonely place to be.
I'm sure that you would recommend that the blended family continue to make a place for the ex.
Yes.
That man will be the father of those children.
For all time, even if he's deceased, he's the father.
Unless he's abusive, try to accommodate him.
That's right. And really, you're just trying to have grace. You know, it's the Romans 12. He may be a vindictive person towards you, but you let God take care of that transgression. You try to repay evil with good, as Romans 12 encourages to do. You try to be the godly influence in that situation. And here's something I believe, Dr. Dobson. Grace invites people to move toward us. You may have a child in that situation who feels caught between their biological dad and their stepdad, but a grace-filled stepdad over a period of time will win the heart of his stepchildren. Grace moves people toward us because we're safe. Now, it may take them years to get to a place where they finally see their dad for what he is and who he is. And oftentimes they have to become adults to really kind of have the strength to say, you know what, Dad, I'm not going to let you play me anymore. And then they really feel safe with the stepdad. There's a movement toward him, and it's because he had this posture of love. And stepfathers sometimes really feel hamstrung. But ultimately, they're not if they're loving, grace-filled people. That is a powerful mechanism in life.
You know, you superimpose all that we've said now with the spiritual dimension, where you might have a father out there, the ex, who doesn't worship God, who uses his name in vain, who doesn't take him to church, who makes fun of their faith and their beliefs. And the blended family may be trying with everything they've got to teach those principles. Man alive, that's almost unsolvable for a period of time, isn't
it? And let me make a connection to what you've just said. I think our culture today, unfortunately, is training our kids to be postmodern thinkers. Because think about it. Here's a kid who goes to dad's house and he makes fun of Christianity. And then they come to mom's house and stepdad's house and they're taught to love God and worship him. Well, how do I fit in both of those places? Oh, and then biological dad is remarried. So now we have a stepmom situation on that side and that's a fourth spiritual influence. And then maybe dad divorces her or breaks up with her, and now he's dating somebody else. Now there's a fifth spiritual influence in lives. And so systematically, kids are learning how to fit into lots of different religious contexts.
And what,
that's
what
the definition
the
of postmodernism.
What if out there with a girlfriend or a gay relationship?
Right.
I mean, it's the same in both cases.
Absolutely. So again, we have godly and ungodly influences. It really gets difficult to faith train kids in those particular circumstances. Again, I believe love and grace win at the end of the day. We just have to pray for our kids. They may have some prodigal years in that process, but you just continue to be that godly influence. And oftentimes, not always, I wish it was always, but oftentimes those kids come full circle back to the gospel.
Ron, I mentioned that there are landmines everywhere when we're talking about blended families. Tell me if this isn't the most common or the most painful thing they go through. And I may not be right about this, but this is my perception in dealing with blended families. Nothing matters to a mother more than her kids. I mean, absolutely nothing. She'd give her life for them in a heartbeat. And every tear they shed hurts her, and she cares about their well-being, and she ought to. I mean, that's what being a mother is all about.
That's right.
The dad comes in, and he may not feel quite that way emotionally, but he loves his kids, and he wants the best for them. And that's set up for problems when they try to blend.
That's right.
Because some things that are good for one set of kids is not so good for the other, and they begin to argue and fight, and one of them may bully another one or say hurtful things, and your tendency is to defend your progeny, the one you brought into the world, and then the next thing you know, the husband and wife are fighting with each other.
You nailed it.
Is that the biggie?
You nailed it. That's the biggie. Couples get married because they've fallen in love with a person. But couples and stepfamilies divorce because they don't know how to be a family. They don't know how to do the parenting component. And it ends up eroding their coupleness. So we're talking to stepdads today. Here's one of the things I want to say to the men out there that are listening is respect the limits of your role. You have to work very closely alongside their mother because she has that attachment, as you talked about, that deep emotional bond and connection. She knows the history, and she's mom, which affords her, from a parenting point of view, a lot more power than he has early on in the new stepfamily experience. So he's got to respect the limits. If he comes in the book, I tell the story about a stepdad I call Marine Guy. And, you know, he said to his fiancée, when we get married, the Marines have landed. And he comes on the scene changing rules, barking orders, expecting stepkids to jump when he says jump. And all it does is push mom and her attachment to her kids to the point of defending them against him, which, of course, just as you said, erodes the marriage and breaks it up. I think the reason—
It also gives the kids the right to treat you disrespectfully.
Absolutely. They have more power than the stepdad in that scenario. So he has got to understand the limits of his role, work within his power and through his wife in the early phases while he's gaining a relationship, just like Brad. And then you move to a place of greater connection with the kids and therefore greater authority, and you can evolve your role as the stepfather.
Have you seen families negotiate that landmine?
Yes. And again, they have to work at it. And ideally, they're working at it before the wedding. Recently, I discovered in some new research that between 50% and 75% of dating couples don't talk about parenting. That's just blows
it's too
my
volatile,
mind.
Eh?
And they just assume because we love each other, I guess that's going to work out. But they don't really do their homework. Hopefully they're doing that before the wedding, but certainly after the wedding. You know, and parenting's a two-person team. That's true in biological families, right? But you just have to work a little harder as a parent and step-parent situation to play to one another's strengths, know what you can do, what you can't do, work together as a team. If you're going to change rules, here's another suggestion. If you're going to change anything, let the biological mom do it. Let's just play this out for a minute. Wait a minute, Mom. We used to let us go to bed at 10 o'clock. Now we have to go to bed at 9:30. What's up with that? You're just doing that because he's here.
Yeah.
Well, Mom at that point got a moment of decision, right? Either she's going to say, oh, you're right. Let's just go back to 10 o'clock. And she's going to undercut her husband as the stepfather and any rules that they've negotiated together.
Yeah, kids can figure that out real quickly and play one against the other.
They will. But hopefully she says, you know what? You're right. The rules have changed. I get this. It's a little hard for you. But he and I have talked, and we're a team. And it's going to be 9:30 from here on out, so get to bed. That's a position of strength that not only is strength for the mom, but it invites the stepdad into a place of respect within the home. And if mom doesn't move him to that place of respect, it's very unlikely he's going to get there on his own.
Brad and Ron, I'm watching the clock. I didn't do that last time, and the program got away from us. But I want to take what we have left and talk about sex and the blended family.
Mm-hmm.
There's an awful lot there to talk about and think about too, isn't there?
You know, one of the things that's most people don't make the natural connection, but I think it's really real. Sometimes what's happening in the parenting relationship between the couple impacts their couple relationship and specifically the sexual relationship. If, as we were talking earlier, the biological mom finds herself, you know, defending her kids against her husband, trying to stand up for and speak for them, then she probably is going to begin to withdraw from her husband, and that sexual connection gets lost in the process, and he can get really frustrated with that. We men oftentimes are so compartmentalized, he may not get the connection between what's going on emotionally in the home and the fact that we're not having sex like I want to, but there is very much that connection. And so it's a both-and situation. They as a couple have to attend to the romantic part of their relationship, But then he also has to be attending to his role as a stepfather in the home and how that's impacting his wife as mom.
Ron, it's really been a pleasure talking to you. And Brad, the personal aspect of what you've been through made a great contribution to these interviews. Ron, your two books really ought to be mentioned here in closing. The Smart Stepdad, Steps to Help You Succeed. And Dr. Chapman said, I highly recommend Ron Deal. Well, I do too, because every page has got something practical in it. And then your new book, Dating and the Single Parent, with a foreword by Dennis Rainey. By the way, you work with Dr. Rainey, don't you?
I do.
Well, we're going to have to close, but give us a last thought for the blended family out there.
You know, there's a lot of struggles. There's challenges. But I also believe stepfamily done well is redemptive. And I mean, let me tell you what I mean by that. Let me tell you a story about a man who had fallen in love with a woman. They had plans to get married, and lo and behold, she discovers that she's pregnant, and he knows it's not his kid. And how much of a heartbreak that must have been for him. As a matter of fact, it was so powerful in his life, he walked away. He was just set to walk away from the child and the woman. But see, the Holy Spirit calls to him and says, you know, there's something bigger going on here. We need you. And so Joseph comes back to the table. And whether we think of him as an adoptive father or a stepfather, I'm not really sure. But I know he stood in the gap. And I know he did what stepdads are doing all over this nation, all over this world. They're standing in the gap and they're choosing to love somebody who's not their child. I think that's worthy of applause. Mm-hmm. I think that's worthy of celebration, because when you bring that godly influence, you change a legacy. That's, you change a child's life.
A brilliant thought, Ron. I mean, you just think about it. In those days, what they did was stone the woman.
That's right. That's right.
And he not only didn't call for her death, he remained faithful
and
celibate.
We don't know much about Joseph, and I think I'm going to take that up with God one day, okay? Because I have this sense that he was an amazing man. And that he was handpicked by the Holy Spirit because of the qualities that he brought to the table. We see the biggest one in the fact that he chose to love the one who came and chose to love him. Mm-hmm. How powerful is that? When step-parents stand in the gap, they make a difference. And they redeem a child. And I think we ought to uphold them and lift them up and celebrate them and empower them with practical resources and help.
You know, I don't know whether this fits or not, Ron, but when Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple for the first time and they lost him, they couldn't find him. They were panic stricken. They were trying to locate this kid that they brought here. And it would have been very easy for Joseph to say, this is not my son anyway.
That's right. That's right.
What am I doing messing with this rebellious kid?
And it's interesting that Jesus said, I was in my father's house, about my father's business.
I wonder if that stung. I wonder if it stung just a little bit.
It may have, but Joseph rose above it, you know? I mean, that I just know that's the quality of guy that he was. That's why God picked him.
That's wow.
Great stuff, gentlemen. Yes. Thank you. And keep doing the work you're doing, because as we said in the first program, one out of three families today is working on a blended family, a step family. So the need is enormous. And the problems can be enormous too. And that's why so many blended families end in divorce, which is doubly tragic, because then the children have three or four families to relate to.
That's right.
So thank you for what you're doing, for the godly way that you've approached it, and for being here with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson.
Isn't that a great illustration with which to end this two-part series on stepfathering here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk? You know, Ryan, that realization that Joseph himself was essentially a stepdad to Jesus is just a fascinating thought.
Oh, it is. I mean, I thought it was hard to raise Lincoln. How do you raise the Son of God?
I cannot
know
imagine.
It. I mean, the angel came and spoke to him. This is a fact.
It's a great insight.
Oh, I know that many of our listeners today have been touched by this in some way. Either they are a stepfather or they're married to one, or they have one, or they know one. If you're thinking of someone who needs to hear this message, call us. We'd love to send you a complimentary CD copy of this two-day program for yourself or to share with others. Our number is 877-732-6825, and we are available 24 hours a day.
And, of course, you can also share the link via your Facebook page. You can access that online at drjamesdobson.org. And when you do visit that website, would you please consider a donation to our ministry here at Family Talk, as well as information about our guest Ron Deal's book, which we have been discussing these past 2 days. It's called The Smart Stepdad, and it just provides wonderful advice and information on helping stepfathers navigate their role of stepparenting. Again, drjamesdobson.org.
Thanks again for being with us, and we invite you back next time as we hear another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We will see you then.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.